AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Rough day on Wall Street following a major financial sell-off. The Dow took a dive, losing more than 1,000 points, closing at 38,703. But the NASDAQ and the S&P shed more than 3%. CBS financial contributor J.G. Durkin is not worried.
No one I've talked to has said this is a reason for panic. This is good faith selling that is healthy for the system.
The news follows a worse than expected jobs report on Friday. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
We've seen the unemployment rate increase four consecutive months. And when that has happened all the way back to 1960, it has been a very good indicator of a recession.
Which means the Federal Reserve may need to make a move soon at its next meeting. Bank rates, Mark Hamrick.
It's absolutely possible that the Fed could go with a more aggressive or easier rate cut of 50 basis points, 0.5% versus 0.25%.
The Fed hasn't touched rates in a year. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first cases of West Nile virus infections in Wisconsin this year have turned up. One was a would-be blood donor in Washington County. The other was a dead bird in Chippewa County. The infections confirm infected mosquitoes are transmitting the virus to people and animals. Voters shouldn't be blamed if they find the statewide constitutional ballot questions on August 13th confusing. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which does nonpartisan analysis of policy issues.
I would expect voters to look at this ballot language and be very confused by it in many cases because it's not straightforward by any means.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Up Front. A yes vote would give the legislature more power over spending federal money in Wisconsin. A no vote would keep that power with the governor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, August 6th, in Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee is meeting at 4 in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The Finance and Property Committee meeting will take place in the Council Chambers at 5. The Nakusa Property Recreation and Human Affairs Committee will meet at 5 in the City of Nakusa office. The Personnel Committee meeting will follow at 5:30. In Portage County, the Stevens Point Police and Fire Commission will meet at 2. The Downtown Stevens Point Business Improvement District Board meeting will begin at 2:30. The County Board meeting, Committee of the Whole, will begin at 4:30. The Portage County Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7. The Village of Whiting will hold their Utilities Committee meeting at 5. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
All systems go in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers put on a show over the weekend on family night. Jordan Love signing autographs for fans and doing interviews.
Training camp has been good so far. Great practice going against a great defense every day. A lot of great competition, but that receiver room, tight end room, all those playmakers, man, they're looking great. I'm very excited about what we got building and just a lot of those guys, you know, taking that next step and building on what we did last year. So I'm very excited.
The biggest question is still at kicker. Anders Carlson went 8-for-9 after going 3-for-6 earlier in the week. Greg Joseph, 7-for-9 family night. The Packers have signed another kicker, Jonathan Garibay, who's kicked for the Dallas Cowboys and in the UFL. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3. Milwaukee has now lost 3 straight series. Today they travel to Atlanta, where they'll play the Braves tomorrow night.
I love this team, guys, and I'm not going to start criticizing them for making youthful mistakes or for hitting balls hard and not having it be timely hitting.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
A dark and drearier day today with scattered light showers here this afternoon, with rain ramping up this evening, bringing some heavy amounts of rainfall and some thunderstorms embedded as well. We could see 1 to 2 inches of rainfall create some flash flooding. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangent with Luke Mathers, and we'll discuss the new Democratic vice presidential candidate. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, August 5th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to speak with Wisconsin State Assembly 72nd District Representative Scott Krug. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have with us in studio our good friend, Hannah Wendell Scott, Foodwise Nutrition Educator, Wood County University of Wisconsin Madison Division of Extension. Whew! It is good to have you with us, Hannah.
Yes, you too. Good job getting through all that.
I've been practicing, though. Hannah, we appreciate not only you, but our friends over there that put so much into this community and cover such great topics. And oftentimes, I think, cover gray area topics that we don't necessarily get a chance to really dive into. And we are in full blown farmers market mode. Yes. We have been enjoying the farmers market this year. And of course, we have our bike share programs and some of those things that like River Riders that mm-hmm. we're going to touch on today. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that where we're going to go with the conversation. If you don't mind, we can start off with it being Happy National Farmers Market Week.
Yay! Happy Farmers Market Week. Yay. So exciting.
It's fun. It's an exciting one.
It is exciting. Yeah. Yeah. So National Farmers Market Week, if you're not familiar, it actually began 25 years ago. A proclamation declared by the United States Department of Agriculture. And since then, the farmers market community has really grown. And we've kind of taken it on here locally. And we're super excited to celebrate it at the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market. But you could probably find it at any market across the state, across the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And our own one right here in Wisconsin Rapids is going strong.
Yes, we've been in full swing since June 13th, and it's been a really amazing year. I think it's our biggest year as far as vendors go.
I was going to ask.
It's a lot. We have over 60 vendors, and that's for both Saturday and Thursday, but it's really neat to see how many people have been learning about the market and wanting to come vend with us, and it just keeps growing. I mean, we constantly get messages coming in like, hey, do you have any open spots? So it's really neat that people still want to come throughout the year, not just at the beginning of it.
Yeah, yeah. it's so incredible to see how much it's grown, certainly with vendors in that and different things that are going on down there as well and different ideas that people have had. It's just as incredible to see the amount of people that have been showing up, too.
Yes,
it's
yeah.
incredible how many people show up for it.
Oh, I know. It's so fun. It gets so busy between 10 and 12:30, so like right around those lunch times. And it's just really fun. We actually take attendance every 20 minutes on the hour. And it's wild sometimes, like how much foot traffic our market is getting. And it's fantastic.
You know, let's reach out to people that maybe haven't seen the market yet. Mm-hmm. What can you expect to find at our farmers market now with almost 2 months into the season?
Right. Yeah. So it's peak harvest season, and you can find pretty much anything you can think of that grows in Wisconsin. It's going to be at the market. So you have an abundance of tomatoes. You're starting to see more local corn, which is always exciting. That's one of my favorites. Peppers, all of the zucchini. Lock your cars if you don't want zucchini put in your car. I feel like everyone just has so much zucchini. So as much produce, fruits, vegetables, herbs, anything you can think of, it's going to be at the market this time time of year. But we also have many vendors that offer a variety of stuff. So we've got jarred goods, so salsas, pickled foods, jams, jellies. We also have maple syrup and honey. We've got a couple popcorn vendors, which are very good. Lemonade. And then we don't just have food. We also have crafts. So cutting boards, jewelry, other beautiful pieces. So if you're looking for a gift or something for yourself, you can come to the market and find it locally right there, which is really neat.
Yeah, it's nice to give people the idea or remind people of all the different variety that is at a farmer's market.
Yes.
For people like myself, when I was a kid and in the city and you go to the farmer's market or something, you had an idea of produce.
Right.
That's what you were going to. You were getting produce and you're getting a lot of local produce made in state and in that area. And it was always fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was telling my mother, because she's the one that took me to it as a kid. I'm telling her about our local farmer's market and everything. And she hasn't been there in about a year or two. And she was just talking about how much it had blown up like a couple of years ago. And I'm like, Mom, you got to see it now. It's so cool to think of all the different things that have been going on down there and different organizations to get represented and get to be able to show up down there, nonprofits and some of those.
Yeah. We try to bring in a variety of different businesses, organizations who, if you have something going on in the community, come on down and talk about it at the market. You're going to reach a lot of people who are there to shop, but then they can interact with you and learn about your business. But we also try to make it family friendly. And so we'll have face painting on a certain day. We'll have balloon twisting for animals and fun things. We also sometimes get live music. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about in a little bit is a performance from the Hmong dance group. So we also try to get, like, if you are a group, the YMCA has come down and performed some of their gymnastics events. We try to make it kind of a place that you want to come and shop and get your produce and all of your baked goods and all that fun stuff, but also spend some time at, bring the family, like take a little time and make it like part of your day.
When we traditionally, when I talk about the farmers market, one of the first things I like to hit on is the opportunity to help our ag industry, help some of our vendors out there that don't always have a chance to be a shop that's open 24/7 or 9 to 5 or something like that. And anytime we can help local, support local, that's our game here. That's what we like to do. It's also been really cool to see the opportunities, like you mentioned, the Hmong dance and everything.
Yeah.
For those that may not experience some of that culture or anything, getting an experience of that. The kids that are down there, their brains are sponges.
Mm-hmm.
And not only maybe seeing a dance like that and being, you know, oh, I've never seen this before, I'm all of a sudden learning about another culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just as important when they see adults, you know, going out of their way to support local vendors and the local ag industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to go to the supermarket and get your produce. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
But it goes so far for when kids see these things. As one of those kids, it's part of the reason I go to farmers markets, because my mom took me to one and I watched her do it and everything. So the added bonus of that, too, for kids, along with all these other different things that are going on down there, it really is a family hub.
Yes, it's super impactful. I love that you remember that from being a kid and now you're carrying it over into your today life. It's amazing. And it is. It's true. You make a big impact. And kids are always watching. They see what we're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a great opportunity to bring the kids on down for not only some of the fun things for kids that they have down there, but also to be able to pick that up and experience some of that. What are the hours and dates and location for the market, Hannah?
Yeah, so if you've never been to our market, we actually are lucky. We have 2 days, so you can come on a Thursday and a Saturday. You're usually going to find about the same vendors. Some of them will be different depending on the day, so go to both if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice if you work during the week and you can only get there on the weekends or vice versa. I really appreciate and didn't know how much I appreciate that until I would hear from other people who only have a weekday farmer's market. And they're like, well, I can never go. I'm like, well, sweet. We're lucky because we have two. But it's Thursdays, Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So a good chunk of time there that you can come visit us. And then it's located on First Avenue South, right along the Wisconsin River.
Mm-hmm.
So you go over the bridge and you'll find us right there.
Yeah, you literally can't miss it. especially if you're going through that part of town and everything, you'll run right into it.
Yes.
I'm curious, Hannah, does the market only accept cash, or are there other types of payment accepted?
Yeah, Yeah, so we're super fortunate here in Wisconsin Rapids. We can accept more than just cash. So if you forget your cash or you use it all up, because that's more like what I do.
Yeah, same.
You can actually use your credit or debit card. You can use your FoodShare EBT card, so your Quest card, WIC checks, Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program vouchers, and then Aspyrus fruit and vegetable prescription. So we try to reach everyone, so everyone can feel like they can shop at the market, no matter what their income level is or anything like that.
Yeah, and this wasn't always the case. No. This is something that's come about in recent years.
Yes, yeah, it's a big push. Everyone across the state, honestly, this is a lot of work that a lot of markets are trying to do, is to get EBT accepted at their farmers market. And it's hard, but it's important work.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's taking things to the next level, to the next step when it comes to wanting our all of our families to eat as healthy as possible, to be able to support local as best as possible. It's a true win-win kind of situation.
Exactly.
So how do you use your credit or debit card or EBT food share card?
Yeah, so it's super simple. I'll start with credit or debit. So if you want to use your credit or debit card, you're going to come over to the market manager tent. We're at the orange tent, like right in the middle. It's hard to miss us. And so you're just going to tell them, hey, I want to use my debit card to swipe and get some tokens. How does this work? And so we'll say, great, how much do you want? Say you want $10. We're going to say there's a dollar service fee, and that's just for credit or debit. So dollar service fee, swipe your card, and then you're going to get 10 individual wooden tokens that are basically just cash. And you can use them at any vendor, the credit or debit cards. Any vendor can accept them. So it's super simple. We walk you through the whole thing, and then you can just keep coming back for more.
Perfect.
Yes,
perfect.
Yeah.
And if you if this is your first time at the farmer's market and you're unsure of how to use these things, mm-hmm. or maybe want to ask some more questions or anything, again, just find Hannah or her team or somebody over there, and they'd love to help you walk through this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll walk you through it all. And we try to make it easy, too. So if you wanted to use your food share card, same kind of process. There just won't be a service fee. And then you can use your EBT tokens on your typical food share eligible items. So fruits, vegetables, herbs, honeys, all those fun things. But we try to put signs up at each vendor station that say what types of payment they accept. So you're not out there trying to be like, well, who takes tokens? Who doesn't take tokens? What am I supposed to do with these? Look for a nice little, it's a small little sign that each vendor has, and they list everything that they can accept.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Hannah Wendell Scott, a Foodwise nutrition educator with UW Extension. And Hannah, getting back to National Farmers Market Week celebrations, anything special that our market is doing this week?
Yes, we've got quite a few things happening this week. I'm super excited for it. So the first one that I alluded to earlier is the performance from the Hmong Dance Group. If you look them up on Facebook, they're abbreviated to CWNN. And they've performed at our farmers market before. And they also perform at many different community events all across central Wisconsin. They perform a lot up in Marathon County. They're kind of all over. So if you start looking for them, you're going to start noticing them popping up. But they're amazing. They're one of my favorite groups. The way that they honor culture, just from their uniforms, the dance that they do, and they all just come together. There's a variety of ages in this group, too. Mm-hmm. So you've got real littles up to teenagers. It's super neat to watch them perform.
If you'd like a preview, go ahead and look them up online. It really is a wonderful thing to watch.
Yeah.
They're so talented.
I know.
They really do enjoy what they're doing, too, and that's infectious. You really are going to enjoy it. You might even dance a little bit yourself. You might
I
even
bet
get
they
up
welcome
a little
it.
Bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a really fun one. And a great addition to this, the farmer's market.
Yeah.
What time are they performing at the market?
Yeah, so you have to come on Thursday. They will be there on Thursday from 10 to noon. So you can find them anytime during that slot. Come to the Orange Market Manager tent and just kind of look around. We have a couple grassy areas. We're not sure which one we're going to fit them at, but they're really hard to miss. You're going to notice a group that's going to get ready to perform. So come between 10 and noon on Thursday.
And Hannah, you and I are friends. I enjoy the time that you're on here, so I don't mean to press the situation, but I am a journalist, and I have to follow up. You mentioned giveaways. Giveaways.
Right? Yes, yes. We have giveaways. So we're super thankful to all of our vendors, but we're also really thankful to the community, the shoppers, you and me, who come out and shop every week at the farmers market. So we're offering couple giveaways. First, we're going to have two $20 gift certificates. We might throw a little honey and maple syrup and some other goodies in there, too. But two $20 gift certificates. You can enter to win one of those two on Thursday and Saturday. So you can go both days. just go to that Orange Market Manager tent. Fill out a paper slip, and then we're going to draw the winners on the following Monday.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Encourage you to go to their, and you'll be announcing those winners on Facebook as well?
Yes, we'll do them on Facebook, and then we'll ask for a phone number. So if you're not on Facebook, don't worry. We will be able to call you so you can get your prize.
It does give me a chance to shout out the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market on Facebook. Be sure to subscribe to that page, like that page. It's a great one. They do a great job on it, and it's a great way to keep up to date on things over there.
Yes. Yeah.
And one other thing that I thought was noteworthy about the Facebook page, Hannah, if there are any issues or if there are vendors that are going to be there that aren't going to be there, some of that kind of information, can you find it at the Facebook page?
Absolutely, yeah. We do a really nice job. The market managers who are down there, it's really never me. It's all them. they're down there taking photos every morning that they get set up, all of our vendors. So if you're curious, what's at the market? What kind of flowers? I need an arrangement, or I need this for my recipe that I'm making this weekend. You could check our Facebook page and probably see everything that's at the market just through the photos that we post. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Again, just go to your Facebook page and type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market.
Yeah.
Can you recap everything someone can expect for National Farmers Market Week, Hannah?
Yes. Yes, I can. So Thursday from 10 to noon, we have the Hmong Dance Group. So come on down to watch their amazing performance. We also have two $20 gift certificates that we're giving away. You can enter to win at our market manager tent on Thursday and Saturday, and we'll draw on the following Monday. And then we also have one more little fun, family-friendly kind of giveaway that we're doing. You can come to our manager booth, pick up a bingo card. So we have a Wisconsin Farmers Market bingo card. And it's just encouraging you to go out with your littles or just with yourself. You don't need kids. to go shop around and try to find one of the items that are on the bingo card and make a bingo. And then once you finish and complete a bingo, bring it back to the tent. And we have like other little summer giveaway prizes as well. So we got something for everyone.
It's nice little added bonuses that you've, put around throughout this whole entire day and the days and the event. That's a really fun part of this. I enjoy that. the times of the market one more time.
Yep. So Thursdays and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. right there on First Avenue South.
And Hannah, if you don't mind, we got a couple of minutes here. I did want to talk about something you touched on earlier when we were talking about the food share program and EBT and some of this. For years, these things were not accepted down at the farmers market. But you, the team, a lot of people have put a real push to this, really working to make this happen. We don't have to get into too many of the details, but is it yourself? Were there other people in the as part of the UW program or anything really pushing this forward? I'd love to know a little behind the scenes of that, how, because if I'm being honest, I didn't know that day would come. I really didn't think, as a kid who grew up like that, it was like I wasn't going to bring this up before, but a lot of the times at the farmers market we would go to in the city was browsing.
Yeah,
we couldn't buy items there. We couldn't afford, or we couldn't, just didn't have the funds or whatever.
Exactly.
Those things weren't available to a lot of our younger generations.
Right.
So I'm curious. It's so cool to be able to see this happening in this day and age.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you sharing that. And when I was doing a little bit of research, I think it was when we switched from food stamps and we went to the card. Mm-hmm. That's where the barrier came into play, that you couldn't use a debit card or credit card, and now you can't use your EBT food share card at a farmer's market. They didn't have the technology in place for that. So a lot of work went into getting a machine that can work at your market, and then you need Wi-Fi, right? You need all these things to fall just in place, and the cost of that too. So the way that we kind of got it started was applying for a grant that came out a couple years ago to have like a year free trial to see how this works. You get all the machinery, all the equipment, you get the support to start it at your market locally, keep it going, and then hopefully the thought is you will find funding to keep it going after that. Right. Or your market generates that money through vendor fees and all that stuff. It all pours right back into the market, and a big thing is to support having EBT at our farmers market. And for a lot of markets across the state, they don't have this ability to do that, and so there are larger grants that actually folks from my team at extension on a higher level mm-hmm. are working on applying for. And we received a really nice grant for Central Wisconsin to push this a couple years ago. And now that grant's kind of coming to an end and we're applying for the next mm-hmm. phase to implement this. It was the planning grant and now we're trying to implement it at gotcha. Other markets across Central Wisconsin. And they're doing it all over.
Cannot tell you how much I appreciate the breakdown and the behind the scenes yeah. there and the work that has been put into this by you, by everybody. A big thank you to that. And please let us know. Keep us up to date on it. If there's any way we can help or bring attention to anything, please let us know. We love our farmers market and want to keep it going strong. And not only that, but keep our community being able to use our farmers market often. And that's something, an insight that I don't think everybody has. I appreciate that you guys did. It goes a long way.
Yes.
And I'm curious, as you guys, I'll be honest, I know a little bit of the answer to this one, I feel like. But as you're looking at even next year and the year before and going forward, the winter's farmers market, some of that, are you still kind of tinkering and looking at different ways you can add to this and add, you know, do something here?
Or? Yeah. There's a lot of cool conversations that are happening about that. I think the dream, the really big, like lofty goal that we want, but we're pretty good at getting our goals, I will say. We would love to be able to link up and have, if you get tokens at the summer farmers market right now, could you use them at the winter market? And our winter market friends, they are amazing. They're super collaborative. We share our vendors and we kind of send them over when they are getting started. Because why wouldn't you, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not a competition. It's we would love to be able to kind of link up together and offer one big EBT program that could be used throughout the entire year.
It's a fantastic idea. Yeah. Oh, I look forward to hearing what develops with that, Hannah. That's fantastic. And looking forward to talk with you again real soon. If people have follow-up questions, want to know what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so you can give me a phone call. My office number is 715-421-8530. And we frequently check that Facebook page. So if you are on Facebook and you have a question, Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market, send us a message.
I did have one last thing, Hannah, I almost forgot. If you are ever looking for volunteers or anything like if people would like to be able to help out in that way, same phone number, reach out to you?
Yeah, same phone number, reach out to me. We actually are always looking for friends to help volunteer for Saturday market managers. If you are a high school student or you know a high school student, it's a great way to get volunteer hours. Or if you're retired and you're looking for something to do, who wouldn't want to spend it at the market?
Oh, yeah, it's a great place. A great idea. Very good idea. Again, help us celebrate National Farmers Market Week going on this week until the 10th. You can do that every Thursday and Saturday at our Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market from 8 to 2. Go ahead and we'll meet you there, everybody. Hannah, thank you again for the time.
Thank you so much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Wis Country 105.5 WIRI and locally grown radio WFHR are having a party. A party on the roundabout. Join us August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. and have some fun on the radio. Say hi to Pam and the rest of the staff. There'll be kids games, balloon animals, and face painting. There'll be a live animal show by the Aquarium Pet Shop. Have your kid team up with one of our on-air personalities to record a radio message that we might air later. That's right, you could hear your kid on the radio. Meet and take pictures with our feathery mascot, Agatha, from noon to 2. She loves to make new friends. Then share and tag your picture to win station merch, including brand new t-shirts. Help us give back and support our community by donating a non-perishable food or school supply item. Don't miss El Taco Social Food Truck serving hot, yummy tacos and more. And don't forget to text in your song requests for WIRI before August 11th through the Civic Media app. It's the WFHR WIRI Party on the Roundabout, Wednesday, August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. Come and see how much fun radio can be.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this, if this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk
producers, I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris has a slight polling edge over Donald Trump in Wisconsin and other key battleground states. ABC News reports if Harris wins Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, that should clinch a victory. Harris is set to campaign in Wisconsin Wednesday. Violent crime rates are dropping in major U.S. cities. Charles Crest is with the group Stop the Violence 757.
One is too many for me. So what they're saying in the numbers, yes, we don't have 10 anymore, but we still have an astronomical number that it's almost week to week. We're losing someone between the ages of 30 to 15.
In the first quarter this year, Milwaukee police say homicides dropped 39% compared to the same period last year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The price of gasoline rose only slightly over the past week, with an increase of 0.9 cents per gallon. The average across the state sits at $3.49. This is 16 cents higher than a month ago, but over 11 cents lower than this time last year. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, predicts a gentle decline in gas prices over the next week. He said oil prices dropped over new concerns in the U.S. economy after a poor jobs report. Tropical Storm Debbie is still active in the southern U.S., but it poses low risk to refineries. The wild card depends on what happens in the Middle East. Gas prices in central Wisconsin today range from $3.29 to $3.39 per gallon. The Rome Water Utility Office will be moving to the Town Hall Administration Building. This change will happen on September 3rd. They'll be located at 1156 Alpine Drive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People worldwide are watching more color television than ever. Netflix, for the first time ever, reported that all 10 of their top shows pulled in over 1 billion minutes viewed. Variety reports that during the week of July 1st, streaming platforms recorded over 313 billion viewing minutes over various platforms. That is the most streaming consumption ever for a single week. The Nielsen Company started its top 10 list in 2020. Fans of Britney Spears have a new biopic to look forward to. People magazine reports the film will be based on her 2023 memoir called The Woman in Me. You remember that book that came out where Spears looks surprised that she's topless on the cover? That's sneaky photog. The film will be produced by Mark Platt, who also produced La La Land. Variety reported that Universal won the rights to the film project and has access to Spears' entire music catalog. Hopefully, they won't use it in the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. A flood watch continues tonight. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain. Severe storms also possible. Cloudy and a low in the upper 50s. Clearing for tomorrow, nice day, high mid-70s. Currently, it's 66.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Christina Laurie has some stories about Wisconsin athletes competing in Paris. And Sherita Booker reviews last week's popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to be having some great guests joining us in just a little bit. But right now we have with us on the phone lines our good friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug, Wisconsin State Assembly District 72 Representative. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm always happy to be on with you. Come on.
Appreciate the time, as always, man. And we hope that you enjoy yourself and have a good time while also getting people informed and getting a lot of information out there that is important to you and your constituents. Always appreciate the time. And we want to come right out the gate because we want to talk Brewers to wrap up. So let's go ahead and do the work first. You recently introduced security measures for ballot drop boxes with another senator in Dan Knobel. I wanted to talk about that and the importance of this, Scott.
Yeah, so, you know, we saw something pop up the last few weeks here where the Supreme Court recognized that the legislature's out of session, so they're going to make some decisions on things as they go through their regular cycle that doesn't match up with ours. One of those happened to be their drop box decision, which overturned their precedent they set in 2022, authorizing drop boxes to be used in municipalities across the state. One of the things that I tried to do during the session when we were actually in Madison all the time was set some standards for drop boxes, because I haven't had an issue with drop boxes in and of themselves. It's just the issue I had was standards being put in place to say, okay, if you're a community that wants to use one, then you have to go through these protocols, and this is how you're going to have to do it. So what Senator Knodel and I did is we put out a bare-bones version of a bill just to start a conversation to figure out what those proper standards could be. So in the meantime, from the day we put out the bill, the Wisconsin Elections Commission came out and provided guidance to all the municipalities. One of the challenges with Wisconsin Election Commission guidance, though, is that it's not the rule of law. So what I'm hopeful of is that we can do some more election bills, perhaps an extraordinary session or special session before Election Day in November, to put some force of law behind either WEC issuance of the guidance on drop boxes or on Senator Knodel and my bill and that version of it, or combine them and just make sure that it's equal across the board, so that the town of Adams is doing the same exact thing as the city of Milwaukee.
Scott, it sounds like you and the senator are doing this in part to kind of get ahead of the curve of possible things that could be an issue. It seems like it's just kind of trying to make sure that all bases are covered here.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that I am very cognizant of are all the lawsuits that happened after the 2020 election. And honestly, I I'm not just going to pick on one side, because it did happen in the 08 election and the 12 election and the 16 election. Mm-hmm. Just there were a lot more lawsuits in the 2020 election. So my goal between now and November is to make sure that we touch on any single issue that rises to the top that could be seen as a conspiracy or could be seen as a lawsuit potential, and at least have a discussion about it in our committee, in the legislature, and say, okay, we're looking at this right now. So that by the time it gets to the courts, they'll actually know that the legislature is working on this. Because, James, my biggest frustration with the courts is, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, the biggest frustration with the courts for everybody should be that they legislate from the bench, regardless of whatever way they do it, you know, to the left, to the right. That's not their role. Their job is to interpret the laws that are on the books, let the legislature and the governor create the laws. And they should enforce the laws. So I'm, you know, and I talk about this with my ranking member, Lee Snodgrass, the Democrat leading member of my committee. You know, and I tell people all the time, you know, I study politics. I know pendulum swing. One day they'll be in charge. Right now we're in charge. Regardless of whoever's in charge, it should be up to the legislature to set the laws. It should be up to the legislature and the governor to determine what the policies are. It should be up to the courts to follow our lead and say, this is what the policy that's in place does right now, not to create new policy. So that's what we're trying to do, is head off all these issues before Election Day so we can have a conversation ahead of time.
And I think it's an important note. No one should have unchecked power. No one.
Right.
It's part of the beauty of our system is that there is accountability everywhere you look, and nobody, there is no king, there is no dictator. So whether it is that or other aspects of our political system, anybody representing, nobody should be. So again, I think that it's a smart idea to try to get ahead of the curve of some of these things.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that going back, you know, 13, 14 years when I started doing this with Carl, we used to call it our tutorial time, like where we could tell people exactly how things work. And I think one of the things I've forgotten over that time period is that all these new voters and all these new people come into the system after all this time to start talking about these issues for the first time. And I think a lot of the time people fail to understand, you know, the three checks and balances are in place, you know, between the three branches of government and how each of those interplay with each other and how they can and work with each other a little bit. So I sometimes feel like I should go back a little bit more into basics on this tutorial mm-hmm. that we have and instead of going forward all the time, we might have to take a step back once in a while.
This is very interesting. I guess we have been doing this a while, Scott. I usually have like about 7 or 8 things, you know, bullet points for us to talk about. My number 5, informed voting.
Yeah,
that's right. What I got on there. Right. I love taking advantage of your brain and being able to talk about those things. And that is something we will focus on more. We will get into those more. And especially if you have something you want to lead with or anything, you let me know. Make sure that I can do my homework and we can have a good conversation about it. I'm looking forward to that. I think that's a great idea, man.
Yeah, no, I forget sometimes just to go back once in a while and cover some of the things we used to talk about. So we got to do it, though. We got to do our work.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if it whether it's new listeners or it's, you know, a kid that just turned 18, you know, it's never a bad idea to go over. And in fact, in one of your recent e-letters, you talked about the law known as the 50-piece rule. I thought that would be a good one to go over.
This one drives me nuts, right? I mean, I get why it exists, but let me explain what it is. So say the legislature goes out of session in March in the even number year, which is what we usually do. It's because campaigns start in April and go through November. All up until that time, from election day in the odd year election day the last even year to the break, we can send out information to our constituents about what we're doing, issues that they're finding important. We can do some surveys, kind of gather input, have a lot more direct conversation with constituents, you know, through our office. The 50-piece rule says by the time that we adjourn our session, we can't give out one single piece of information to more than 50 people in print or, say, a book or something like that at one time. So, like, if I have 50 flags in my office and I want to hand out flags to people because it's flag day and we're adjourned, I can't do more than 50. That's my limit. If I have blue books I have to get rid of after we adjourn and I have 50 of them, 50 is a limit, right? So the rule was put in place to deter people from using state resources to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one of the struggles with the 50-piece rule that we try to understand is COVID happened during the 50-piece rule.
Mm.
We had a really hard time communicating with people during COVID because of the 50-piece rule at that time. Natural disasters happen when we're adjourned, and it's really hard to communicate with people. Even on my official Facebook page, we can't post on our official state rep Facebook pages because of the 50-piece rule.
Okay, that was going to ask, does it include social media? Okay.
It didn't originally, but courts, again, in their infinite wisdom, basically ruled that your state resource, which my state Facebook page, not a state resource, it's just a Facebook page. But, you know, my followers on my state Facebook page are different than my Scott Krug followers. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because not everybody wants to see and hear everything about my family on my regular page. So they go to the Rep Krug page. So then you just get their stuff like that. So mm-hmm. The courts interpreted that there's a difference. So everything we do is either through our campaign side, which we pay for, through either asking people for donations or putting our own money in, or it's on my individual Facebook page, and I'd skirt the rule a little bit and just tell people this is what's going on in our neighborhood and hope that the court doesn't say anything. So it's one of those really arbitrary, weird rules in the digital age. It just, I don't think, makes any sense anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like it was well-intended when it was first written, but it didn't take enough things in, like, you know, a lot of things in society just didn't take enough into consideration, and how it adapts to the modern age is got to be re-looked at, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that the founders did not think about Facebook when they put together the state constitution. You know, I mean, like, okay, I get it, but can we adapt a little bit? So it's one of those things where it's really hard to go back in and make a big change to it, though, because there are some people who do understand it and say, well, you're just trying to campaign on state time.
Mm-hmm.
And politicians, public servants, whatever you want to call us, we're cognizant of that. Like, okay, I get it. I don't want to tick you off this time of year. You know?
Right, right.
So you don't mess with some things, but we've got to figure out a way to at least create some exceptions for it, at least for things like COVID, natural disasters, and other things we have to be able to communicate, because severe weather season down here, down by the lakes, is no, you know, it should be something I should be able to communicate to people, like, hey, heads up, take cover. I know you don't follow me on my regular Facebook, but here on my state page, we've got problems, and I need to tell you about it. So.
Is this something you, your colleagues, have talked about? Do you think that there could be some movement made with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those weird things because some people would rather just scrap it entirely and some people want to tweak it. But when you start thinking about tweaking it, you've got 400 cooks in the kitchen, then everybody's got a different idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same as any other piece of legislation where after 6 years it'll finally become something real. But it's in the works to change. It just hasn't been decided on how it's going to be changed yet.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. And Scott, our Olympians are not the only ones who have had to make some room on their shelves for some awards. You recently were awarded the Quill Pen of Excellence Award from the Wisconsin County Clerk Association. I want to get to that one and another one, but what did that one mean to you? Well, first off, why is that awarded? What is it awarded for? And what did it mean to you, Scott?
So I think this one was probably one of the coolest ones, right? In my role taking on campaigns and elections, I knew that it's going to be super contentious, super difficult, super, you know, weird to try to navigate the world we live in, to try to get people back on the right page and talk about policy instead of politics when it comes to elections. And working with our county clerks, we've been able to set some really good standards for conversation, creating new policy, moving things forward, and being ready for our next election. So, you know, I can't think of one hearing that we've had in the last year and a half where we haven't had the county clerks come in front of us and start off the conversation because they're the ones that have to manage all of this stuff. So it was really cool to get an award for them. You know, both Lee Snodgrass and I both got the award because we're setting the standard for being bipartisan, good thought conversation leaders. So that one's one of the best ones I think I've picked up over the last 13, 14 years here.
It gives us an opportunity, too, to shout out our county clerks and how much we appreciate the work that they do.
Yeah, right. I mean, Trent, I mean, I don't know if he's listening because he's always busy, but we've got one of the best. I mean, Trent Miner here in Wood County is actually the president of the County Clerks Association. I mean, so a guy like Trent here in Wood County whose knowledge is invaluable is helping guide policy and discussions and bipartisanship with even, you know, big counties like Dane and Milwaukee. I mean, so we don't realize how great we have it here when we have guys like Trent Miner doing his job and helping everybody across the state be able to do their jobs better.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin recognized you as a Legislator of the Year.
Yeah, that one was that was quite a week. So I was up in Hayward for the meeting with the county clerks and swung back through La Crosse the next day to meet with the school nutritionists because they were happy to see us trying to tackle these issues for hunger in our, like, you know, I have a rural community, right? I represent all rural communities, and I consider Wisconsin Rapids kind of rural yet. Sorry, folks, but compared to other places, it is kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges I've always seen is, you know, when we talk about issues at school where kids are not able to succeed or achieve like they're supposed to, especially down here in Adams Friendship and, you know, Westfield, you know, Coloma and, you know, all the Tri-County area where I represent. I mean, it's not because they're not trying. It's not because their parents aren't good parents. It's because half the time they go to school because they haven't eaten, because they're living in poverty, right? Mm-hmm. And a student's mind cannot succeed or achieve if it's not fueled. So one of the things I've worked on the last few state budgets is increasing funding for school breakfasts, increasing the reimbursement rates from the federal government for our school lunch programs, just making sure that, you know, kids shouldn't have to worry about where their next meal comes from when they're trying to figure out how to achieve and become our next generation of leaders. So I'm just as excited to meet with the school nutritionists and take on the issues that they find important because it's something that our communities need.
Yeah, well said. And I have to say that I am a little biased on this one. I was one of those kids. I know what this is like. I know how.
Me too. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it's
hard to say that, you know, there's, you know, you can't just sit here and be a purist all the time and just say, well, their parents should do it. Well, I get that, but we had this conversation even when I passed my financial literacy bill when I said, how are parents supposed to teach financial literacy to their kids when they never learned it themselves? Same with nutrition and poverty issues. Like, if the parents haven't been able to succeed, we're just going to keep their children down in the same rung of the poverty level and just let it be what it is? I'm like, that's just not how America works.
Well, and everything changes. And the idea that, well, it was this way when I was a kid, so it should be this way going forward. No, it changed. It changed before you were even out of school. Things changed from when we were little to when we're older. There's certain things that might stay the same. But for the most part, there's so many different things changing all the time in society that it's important for us to relook at these things. And certainly it's on our representatives to be on the ball on this stuff and making sure that at the very least we're taking care of our kids.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line, right? If our kids don't succeed and our kids can't grow and our kids can't lead, then we're doomed to go down this path that you've seen in different parts of the country, like even the Appalachian story. Even okay, I'm going to say it. Even a story like J.D. Vance's, not putting it politically, but if you've ever read Hillbilly Elegy, and just hear about the understanding of what it's like to grow up in poverty and to succeed after growing up in poverty, you would have a very different frame of reference on it as a legislator if you lived it. Well, you know, and the story that he tells is, you know, everybody that he's ever run into on those higher rungs when he's achieved or succeeded never understood why he was able to fight as hard as he was. It's because you have to.
Yeah, yeah. Just like you can grow a beard and completely change your politics.
I know, exactly, right? Exactly. There's the part I didn't want
to
get into.
I know, I couldn't help myself. Recently, you mentioned you were in La Crosse to be a part of the School Nutrition Association during their annual conference. You mentioned that the award is handed out. Were there other things you all talked about that you thought were noteworthy?
Yeah, I think one of the things is just trying to make sure that the school nutritionists have the level of funding they need overall to run their programs to start, right? It's not even so much about school breakfast and starting the school breakfast programs. It's the fact that we need to be able to have those individuals in school in the first place. So just seeing the representatives from each of the school districts across the state of Wisconsin and how many staff were in that room, that was another exciting component of it, is that we're able to fund their schools enough that their school boards find their work good enough that they can actually afford to have these people on staff and help, you know, plan meals and plan activity and plan good, healthy activities and level and habits for kids as they're in the school. So just, you know, that was the thing I took away from the most, is that we're funding them at a level that their school boards feel they can still afford these individuals to be in their buildings.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I wanted to wrap up certainly with Brewer Talk, but if we have time, I wanted to get to the informed voting part of this. And we have a primary right around the corner, a fall primary, August 13th. We, of course, have a big election coming up in November. The importance of every voter out there being as informed as possible and why that means so much.
Yeah, so a great example of it is the 90% of the time I'm spending this summer is out knocking on doors during primary season for, good Republican candidates on my side of the aisle who are fighting off these challengers, right? I mean, and trying to help everybody understand that what you got in the mail isn't exactly what the reality is. So that's the conversation I'm having all the way from Hayward all the way down to La Crosse, all the way back over to yesterday, Wauwega, you know, just the nooks and crannies of Wisconsin, just talking to voters to say, hey, what you got in your mailbox or what you're seeing on your TV isn't necessarily reality. Here's what's really going on. So that informed voter part is what I hope to expand on a lot between now and November, where people can get the information they need and go out and do some of that of their own in their own communities and their own neighborhoods and just say, okay, this is reality. Turn off the TV. This is what we need to decide. Are we going to go this way or are we going to go that way? Quit worrying about conjecture. Quit worrying about what somebody said 10 years ago. Quit worrying about anything else that may have changed. I mean, because candidates, like you mentioned before, candidates are changing their mind constantly. So to be an informed voter, you have to know who they were, what they wanted, up until the point they decided to run for something else, and now all of a sudden it changes. So you've got to be able to find your trusted source and spread that word from that point.
Scott, before we let you go, how are you feeling about the Brewers in this second half?
Man, I tell you, I'm always nervous. You know, like they always seem like they're doing great, but they're just arms or they're short of innings yet. And they went out and got some help at the trade deadline, but it wasn't exactly what I hoped for. So I'm guessing they'll get to the playoffs, but it'll be a hard task to beat the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers in the National League and. you know, you get over to the American League, it's going to be even tougher. So I don't see a World Series championship coming this year, but it's still fun to watch, dang it.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because I heard this from talking heads a little bit going into the trade deadline and coming out of it, I heard a lot of people kind of saying, well, you know what, I just don't think I'm going to see a Brewer World Series in my lifetime. And I thought that was crazy talk. I'm not a diehard Brewer fan or anything, but to me, I've gotten to see the Chicago Cubs win a World Series. All bets are off. Like, there's no reason anybody couldn't win one. It actually hurt me because I got so many people that mean a lot to me that are diehard Brewer fans. I don't like the idea of that. Ever hit your brain? Have you ever thought that?
So being as old as I am now, I actually have in my lifetime seen them play in the World Series. So I don't know if I'll ever see them win them, but I've seen them play in it. So I'll take that. But I, you know, in this day and age of big money and small market competition, I don't see it anytime soon, right? I mean, you could have the best farm system in the world, and you could make the right trades at the trade deadline, but it's only going to get you so far when you're competing against a $150 million payroll. So,
yeah,
you know, if it gets to the point where you have a salary cap of some sort in baseball, I think the entire country would be better off, because baseball could bring us all back together instead of turning us away from each other. And yes, I just think that's what baseball's always done, and it always could if they would change a little bit. So besides change a little bit, besides putting a runner on second in the 10th inning and making the bases bigger, other changes.
Yeah, right. Couldn't agree more. A salary cap is long overdue in that sport. And I will say, nobody had Arizona or Texas in the World Series. I mean, you just never know. I don't look at any pitching staff in baseball right now, and they scare me. It's more of like, I'm more scared of my own team and who they're going to throw out there. So, you get into the playoffs, all bets are off. We'll see what happens. Scott,
if you get Yelich back and Yelich is healthy down the stretch or in the playoffs, I think you have a chance to keep playing like you used to. So,
agreed. Always a good, informative conversation with you, sir. Thank you so much for the time and what you do for our communities. If people have follow-up questions, want to get in touch with you, Scott, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's easy. Cell phone's easy. 715-323-3293.
We appreciate you, Scott. You have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.